The Lord. If you have the victory today, amen, you can praise the Lord. If you don't have the victory, you can still praise the Lord. Amen, because we're to praise the Lord in all things. Would you stand today? I'm going to be reading today from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 16 and verse number 1. And we're going to read through verse number 16. If you have it, say amen. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, Whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeketh me? Wherefore the well was called Be'er Leheroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Lord Jesus, we pray today, Lord, that Your Word would penetrate our hearts today. God, that You would instill within us, Lord, a sense of reckoning, a sense of Your presence in our life, that we might learn to lean upon You and to trust in Your providence and Your guidance. Lord, that You have made us according to Your will and according to Your purpose. We pray all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God bless you, and you may be seated. I want to entitle our message today, "The Boy with the Chip." That Ishmael must have wondered many times why that his life fell to him as it was. I'm sure that there are perhaps people here in this congregation today that you may have wondered if you were born into the wrong family, or if you were born into the wrong circumstances. But I can trust you to entrust in you today for you to understand that you were not born into the wrong family. That you may have been born into a very unusual set of circumstances. And your conception may have been the result of poor judgment on the part of your parents, one or both of your parents. That there are many mysteries in life that we will frustrate ourselves if we try to figure all that out. But none of us were born as an accident. That none of you came into this world aiming without a purpose and a plan and a will for your life. Because every child that is born into the world is a gift from God. And so I want to talk to us about a boy by the name of Ishmael. We hear a lot of preaching about Isaac and Jacob and those that inherited the birthright of Abraham. But the very firstborn son of Abraham was not Isaac. The firstborn son was a lad by the name of Ishmael. And Ishmael was born under very unique circumstances. And he must have questioned his own birth. He must have questioned the wisdom of some of the adults that helped to bring about his life. Because you see, Ishmael's life was bound up in a conflict between two very jealous women, one of them being his own mother. And so he did not enter into this world under the very best of circumstances. But then neither did most of you. Most of you did not fare of being born into a family where everything was perfect. In fact, the majority of you that are here today, I dare say, were probably born into a dysfunctional family in some form or another. That no child can predetermine the situation into which he or she is going to be born. But God has a plan and God has a purpose, and we cannot use our heritage or our family history as an excuse for our failure. That God, amen, desires for every one of us, amen, to be a success. God has predetermined that every one of us should serve and honor Him as our God and our Creator. And Ishmael was no less important in the mind and in the will of Almighty God. We look at his stepmother, Sarah. That Sarah was a woman that loved God with all of her heart, but she was very impatient with God's timetable. You know, there are, in each of us, there is that reluctance to want to wait upon the things that God has determined for our life. That we, as individuals, we want things when we want them. And we usually want them right now. There are very few of us that want to defer our gratification, or we want to defer the blessings of God. That we want God's blessings, and we want God to bless us right now. We want God to use us, not tomorrow, but we want God to use us today in the way that we have determined that God ought to use us. But God has a timetable for every one of our lives. There is a series of progressions that we have to go through in order to reach that place in time where God can use us. It's a different timetable for everyone. Everyone does not come to that time and place in life that God can use them. Some people arrive at that time and place much earlier in life. I think of Moses, and I can't think of a man that was more greatly used of God, that was more highly favored of God than Moses was. A man to whom God spake face to face. But if you had been on the timetable that Moses was placed on, you might have become rather impatient with God. Because Moses was 80 years old before he reached that time and place in his life that God was ready to use him to be a deliverer to the children of Israel. You know, I don't know how you reckon time, but to me 80 years is a long time. That's a long time to wait upon God. That God, amen, does not reckon time like man does. In fact, the Bible says one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so I don't care how old you are today. You could be 8 or you might be 80. Amen. But God, amen, allows each of us to go through a set of progressions in order for us to arrive at a point in time in our life. I mean, God can use us in a phenomenal way. It may not be a way that you think. It may not be a way that you desire to be used. But God, amen, gave you a name. And God gave you a purpose. And God has a will for your life. It might be in your youth. It might be when you are old and gray. But God, amen, has a purpose and a plan for your life. Amen. And for that purpose you were born into this world. So if you have not arrived at the purpose to which God intended you to arrive, amen, just hold on a little while. Amen. Moses was quite advanced in years when God stopped him at a burning bush and told him to take off his shoes because the ground that he was standing on was holy ground. And so that brings us back to this young man by the name of Ishmael. He had to wonder about some of the adults in his life and why that God surrounded him with all these imperfect people. You may wonder why your parents are not perfect parents. But I want you to know that there's never been a perfect man other than Jesus Christ. Amen. No one is born into a perfect home. No one is given dads that never make mistakes. It would be nice to think that my mother and my dad never made a mistake, but that would be very thinking upon my part. That I like to think that I was a pretty good dad. I was a pretty good pop. But I recognize that there were mistakes in my life that I made. Amen, that it's a wonder that my children were able, amen, to survive some of the things that they had to endure. Each of us Amen. We are surrounded with imperfect people. You know, that some people blame the church for their failure. Amen. Because that in a church that you're surrounded with imperfect people. That may come as a surprise to some of you. That some of you probably think that Brother Hart's perfect. That I never make a mistake. Laugh out loud. We all know that we as human beings are very fragile, that we do make errors, that we do stumble, that there are some things that we wish that we could take back that we've done, things that we would like to take back that we said. Did anybody relate to what I'm telling you today? Sarah was impatient with God's timetable, that she wanted to be a mother. And you know what? It was the will of God for Sarah to be a mother. How many of you believe that God wanted Sarah to be a mother? God declared it in His Word. Amen. It was the purpose, it was the will, it was the mind of God. But do you know how old Sarah was before she conceived to bear a child? 90 years old. She had to wait longer than Moses did. We think Moses was a patient man because he was 80 years old when God, amen, brought him to the apex of His plan. Sarah was 90. So I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, amen, that you may not have found the ultimate, amen, purpose in your life yet. But it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Amen. It ain't over till it's over. Praise God that God has a will and God has a purpose for your life. And so don't get weary with God. Don't begin to blame God, amen, for your lack of success in the kingdom of God. Sarah was very impatient with God, because God's timetable wasn't her timetable. That God's plan wasn't her plan. And so she took matters into her own hand. She thought, well, maybe I can help God out just a little. I want you to know that God, amen, doesn't need no help. God is capable of working things out, amen, by His own power. But she took matters into her own hands. And so she talked her husband Abram into taking another wife by which she could have children and therefore fulfill the promise that God made unto Abraham that he would be the father of a multitude, that his seed would be like the sand along the seashore and like the stars of heaven for multitude. Her heart was in the right place, but she was not following, amen, after the Holy Ghost. She wasn't following after the mind of God. We can sometimes have the best of intentions, but be totally out of the will and the purpose of God. We can be sincere, but sometimes we are sincerely wrong. Sarah was frustrated because she wanted to have a child. And she felt inadequate. When finally the time came that the angel of the Lord came and visited Abraham and Sarah in their tent, and they told Abraham, by this time next year I'm going to visit you and your wife Sarah is going to hold a child in her bosom. Amen. As a blessing from God, the Bible says that Sarah laughed. She wasn't laughing because she thought God couldn't do it. Amen. But she laughed because she felt inadequate as an instrument in the hand of God. It wasn't God that she doubted, it was herself. Most women at 90 years old would probably doubt that they were able to go through with the bearing of a child. We're talking about 9 months. We're talking about a lot of days that are with misery, uncomfortable, difficulty, pain, struggle. And so Sarah laughed because she felt inadequate, amen, for the task that God had purposed for her to do. And she also despised herself because of her barrenness. She felt like that she wasn't up to the task that God has set before. I want you to know it doesn't matter how inadequate that you may feel. It doesn't matter how you despise your lack of success. If God determines, if God purposes to use you, He will equip you to fulfill the task. These are the people that Ishmael had as his examples. And then there was Hagar. His mother was the victim of other people's choices. You know, sometimes that we have very little to do with our present circumstances. Sometimes we just feel like we are a victim of what? Circumstance. Hagar did not choose to be a slave. She didn't wake up one morning, Brother Grissom, she said, "You know, I sure would like to be somebody's slave." It was not a position of her choosing. But nevertheless, it fell her lot in life. That she did not choose to be the mother of Abraham's child, but someone else made that decision for her. She didn't purpose to conceive a child by her master. So she had very little involvement in the results that took place because she was the victim of other people's choices. And when life became difficult and she no longer knew where to turn, that Hagar decided that the best way to face her conflicts was to run away. You know, there are a lot of people in life that whenever they come against difficulty, the first thing they want to do is to run away and hide. I want you to know you cannot run away from your problems. Because wherever you go, your problems will follow you. Sooner or later, you've got to face up to the difficulties and the struggles that you encounter in life. Just changing location won't change anything. Hagar thought that it's too difficult here, and so I will just run away. And in running away, and we read in the text today that she ran away, and she was in great distress. She was in grief and she cried out to the Lord. She was seeking after God. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord spake to her and said to Hagar, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai." And the angel of the Lord gave her a solution. Now when you're running from your problems, amen, that you think that the solution is to ignore the problem, but that sooner or later you're going to have to face up. Amen. Sooner or later you're going to have to just look it right in the eye. Amen. Because you're the only one that can make a change. You're the only one that can change your direction. And this is what the angel of the Lord said. Return to your mistress. You know, God doesn't always give us the answer that we want. We pray and we ask God for an answer and God gives it. And we say, "Is there anyone else up there?" The reason why that a lot of people don't acknowledge the voice of God is because they don't want to hear what God has to say. That that God gave her an answer to her dilemma. And the answer that God gave her is, go back where you came from. You want me to go back to Sarah? Sarah mistreated me. Sarah's jealous of me because I have conceived a child by her husband, something she wasn't able to do. And Sarah was abusive toward Hagar because Hagar was nothing but a slave. And so she could tell Hagar to do this and Hagar had to do that. Whatever Sarah said, Hagar had to do it because she was under authority. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being under authority. Sometimes, amen, the authority may be wrong, but if you're under authority, you need to show respect to that authority. As unto God. Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, the powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. And so when we disrespect our authority, we're not just disrespecting a man, we're disrespecting God. How many of you really believe that? Amen. When Daddy said, jump, amen. Amen. I was supposed to say, Daddy, how high? Amen. I didn't tell my dad. We'll say, Dad, let's sit down at the table here. Amen. Let's be reasonable. Let's negotiate this thing. How many of your parents did that? When I did something I knew I wasn't supposed to do, I knew there were consequences. Anybody relate to that? I knew there wasn't going to be no negotiation, Brother Gary. The negotiation would be kind of bent over, in a bent over position. That was the only negotiation that there was going to be. I just had to take my medicine, amen, and go on. Amen. But that didn't cause me to despise my daddy. It didn't cause me to hate him. You know why my dad disciplined me? Because he loved me. The Bible says, amen, that we are not to despise the fiery trials. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Amen. You're going to be disciplined. You're going to go through difficulty. Everything's not going to go your way. But why? Because God loves you too much, amen, to let you grow up and be a sissy. There is no place for sissies in the kingdom of God. There's no place in the kingdom for the limp-wristed. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, amen, to stand like a man. And after you've stood, amen, then stand some more. Hallelujah. You've got to be tough to be a Christian. Amen. You've got to have a backbone. Amen. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to stand up for the truth of the Word of God. Amen. You've got to stand for something, amen, that's real. Amen. Amen. God told Hagar to go back to your mistress and submit. Amen. Submission's not something we like to hear. Amen. But God said, I want you to submit yourself under her hand. Amen. You see, that Hagar, because God had blessed her and caused her to conceive, she had begun to develop an attitude of superiority toward her mistress. It wasn't all to be blamed on Sarah. Yeah, Sarah did mistreat Hagar, but part of it was because of Hagar's attitude. I found out that a lot of my troubles I bring upon my own self. .99% of the whippings I got, I deserved and more. How many relate to that? Hagar learned through her difficulties, through her struggles, that we experience God's help most clearly through conflict and difficulty. When she was in distress, said, amen, that God refreshed her with a fountain of water in the middle of the desert, and God gave her fresh direction. He said, go back, amen, and face your problems. Go back and submit to your authority. I want you to know, if you're going to be used of God, if you're going to be blessed of God, you're going to have to submit to the authority of God has placed in your life. Amen. No man is an island in himself. Now these are the people that Ishmael, amen, was surrounded by. I sure hope I can finish this in 5 minutes. Because I'm just laying a foundation about a boy with a chip on his shoulder. But this young man grew up with a chip on his shoulder, and he said, you know, I dare you to knock it off. Have you ever met people that went around with a chip on their shoulder? Just daring somebody to knock it off. Well, let's look at the weaknesses of the adults in this young boy's life. What was the greatest weakness of Sarah, his stepmother? Sarah's greatest weakness was that she tried to cover up her own faults by blaming others. There are a lot of people in life, amen, that blame their own deficiencies upon other people. Come on now. What was God's solution for Sarah? To increase her faith. God wanted Sarah, amen, to quit blaming others and begin to have more faith in me. Amen. Quit blaming God. Quit blaming your neighbor, amen, for your own insufficiencies, and begin to have faith in God. Say like the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Increase my faith, God. That's what God was trying to do. It was increase her faith. And then there was Hagar. Hagar's greatest weakness was that when God showed favor toward her, it engendered pride and arrogance. Amen. When God shows favor toward you, it's not so that you can be puffed up. It's not so that you can look down upon others and begin to feel superior. Amen. What was the answer? What was God's solution to Hagar's attitude? God's solution was go back to your mistress and submit to her. Isn't that amazing? Amen. The solutions that God gives. Yeah. Amen. And so Ishmael became jealous toward his brother Isaac. There was this constant conflict in his home that his mother and his stepmother, amen, they didn't get along. That Abraham was greatly troubled because of conflict. I want you to know that when there's conflict in a home, it affects children. Mom and Dad, if you have a disagreement between one another, keep your disagreements, amen, a private matter. Don't disagree in front of your children. Amen. If you've got a grievance, amen, keep it to yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. But all that Ishmael knew was conflict, criticism, complaint. And so when Ishmael became of age, at age 13, and when God, amen, reconfirmed His covenant with Abraham, guess who one of the first ones to receive the mark of circumcision was? It was Ishmael. He was circumcised. Amen. It took a while. Amen. He was 13 years of age when he was circumcised by Daddy Abraham. And he took upon him the covenant. That Abrahamic covenant, the sign of the covenant was circumcision. It was a sign of blessing. It was a sign of God's promise. Amen. And Ishmael received that sign. Ishmael received that covenant to mark upon him at age 13. But when it came time for the weaning ceremony of Isaac was born, the child of promise. The Bible says Ishmael became very jealous toward his brother Isaac because Isaac was to receive the birthright which was traditionally given unto the firstborn son. It had been that way for a long time that the older son, amen, always received the birthright. But with Ishmael's situation, it was different. Instead of Ishmael being the one that was to receive the birthright, it was to be given to his little baby brother, Isaac. And so he began to develop an attitude. Now you can criticize Ishmael all you want to, but I believe that probably most of you would have had the same attitude that Ishmael had. You mean that little snot-nosed kid is going to take my birthright? Amen. He was already a teenager. And Isaac was just being weaned, amen, off the bottle, so to speak. And so at the weaning ceremony, there was conflict. And so Ishmael began to mock, and he began to make fun of Isaac in the presence of others, and those others included Isaac's mother, Sarah. And a result of his actions, both Hagar and Ishmael were permanently expelled from the household of Abraham. And so not only did he not get the birthright, he wasn't even welcome in his own house. Amen. Do you think about it? Amen. We're talking about a boy with a chip on his shoulder. Now every one of us can probably point to something, some injustice, some occurrence in our life that gives us a legitimate reason to complain. Did anyone in this auditorium ever have something happen in your life that you thought was wrong? Did you raise your hand? You thought you should have been the one that got the prize, but somebody else took the prize? Ishmael was cast out of his own house while just a young lad. And there are several things that I'm going to enumerate. There are seven reasons, and I'm going to try to hurry through it. There are seven reasons for Ishmael's resentment. Ishmael grew up with a chip on his shoulder. Ishmael grew up thinking that he wasn't treated like a son ought to be treated. So he developed an attitude. But I want you to know that no matter what life circumstances, amen, you choose the attitude that you've got. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say to your neighbor, I chose this attitude. It don't matter if it's a good attitude or a bad attitude or a jealous attitude. You chose the attitude that you've got. Amen. Amen. When I'm grumpy and irritable and hard to get along with, you know why I'm grumpy and irritable and hard to get along with? Because I chose to be that way. Amen. There were seven principal reasons why Ishmael had an attitude. Number one, Abraham was a very wealthy man. His father had cattle and sheep and donkeys and camels and servants. He was a powerful man as well when the armies of the east came against the armies of Canaan, that Abraham got angry and he had his own soldiers, and they went out and they defeated the four different kings from the east, including the king of Elam and the king of Babylon. Abraham had enough men to conquer four different armies at the same time. He was a rich and powerful man, and so he could have done anything for his son that he wanted to do. But when he sent Hagar and Ishmael away into the desert, do you know what kind of a gift that Abraham gave to Hagar and Ishmael. Now we think about Abraham as a great man, a man of faith, and he was all of that. But that doesn't mean that he never made a mistake. You know what Abraham gave Hagar and his son Ishmael? He gave them a sack lunch and a canteen and sent them off into the desert. And they didn't go very far until they had eat that sack lunch. And they went to get a drink out of water from their canteen and just what there was. There wasn't anything. And so Hagar, she took her son. Now, this is a young teenage boy, not a baby. That he's a teenage boy. And she laid her son in the shade of a bush. Now, Brother Grissom can relate to that, because he grew up on the edge of the desert. There wasn't any shade tree. The Bible said she laid him in the shade of a bush. It wasn't much of a shade, but it was all the shade that they had. And she went off a short space, and she turned her face toward God because she did not want to see her son die in such a terrible condition. And she cried out to the Lord. And the Bible says that God heard her cry. Amen. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she drank and gave unto the lad. And they both drank. And they survived. And so if it had not been for an act of God and the angel of the Lord, amen, Hagar and Ishmael would have died of hunger and thirst because of Abraham. The third reason that Ishmael had an attitude, that he grew up in the barren wasteland that was known as the desert of Paran. The desert of Paran is in the Negev area just north of the Sinai. It was a barren wasteland. Believe me, that it was not a hospitable place. It was not a place of abundance. It was not a place of fruit and abundant water. It was a wasteland. And this is where he grew up, the son of Abraham. When he came to years, his mother introduced him to an Egyptian lady. And he married an Egyptian, which was the traditional enemies and persecutors of Israel. And so that did not endear Abraham and his seed to Ishmael. The fifth reason that Ishmael grew up with an attitude, that he was caught up in the conflicts of others and a process which was bigger than his understanding. We don't understand everything that God is doing around us. That sometimes we get caught up in other people's problems and other people's troubles. I want you to know, if people have conflicts and troubles in their life, that the only thing that you can do for that person is to take it to the Lord and lay it at His feet, because He is the only one that can bring peace. He's the only one that can take away the problems and the troubles of life. And you cannot fix, amen, what only God can do. The sixth reason that he had an attitude was his own actions proved that he had chosen to be a part of the problem instead of a part of the solution. He could have taken steps to reconcile with his brother Isaac. He could have taken action to heal the rift between them. But the Bible says his hand was against not just his brother, but his hand was against every man. And every man's hand was against him. If you develop an attitude that the world stinks, it's all bad and it's getting worse, there's a song, Me and You Against the World. How many know that song? Some people can't even sing that song because they think it's just them against the world. I want you to know the world's not against you. Your brothers and sisters are not against you. God is not against you. And so if you've got a chip on your shoulder this morning, if you feel like you're a victim of circumstance, if you feel like life has given you lemons, it's time to make lemonade. Hallelujah. Don't be a part of the problem, be a part of the solution. And if you're not a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. If you're not praying for your brother, if you're not strengthening your brother, then you're weakening the body of Christ. If you can't love your brother, amen, how can you love God? If you can't serve your brother, how can you serve the Lord? And the final reason that Ishmael had an attitude was that he chose to live beneath his circumstances rather than to rise above them. In conclusion, Ishmael's life represents the mess that we make when we develop a self-destructive attitude. Ishmael was Ishmael's own worst enemy. It was Ishmael that caused Ishmael to have a spirit like he had. It was Ishmael that chose to follow the path that he followed. But God had an answer to Ishmael's dilemma. And God has an answer for every man and every woman today that will hear the voice of God. You know what God's solution was? God's answer to Ishmael's dilemma was for Ishmael to become a changed man, to live a life of humility and a life of submission. God has a solution. Humble yourself before God. Submit yourself to the commandments of the Lord, and you'll find a freedom. You'll find a liberty. You'll find a peace that only God can give. Would you stand today? Let's lift our hands to the Lord and acknowledge Him.